The views in this podcast are the participants' own and are not the views of their respective companies.
Welcome to Aerox The Legacy Life, the podcast asking, what does a career in runoff insurance or reinsurance actually look like? I'm your host, Katie Reynolds, and today we are joined by Sandy Santometto and Eric Pence from WTW. Sandy is the soon-to-be-retired senior director in charge of the legacy liability space at WTW, which includes asbestos, environmental, and health hazard claims. Eric is currently transitioning into that role. Thank you both so much for joining us today. I just want to jump right in. I know you're both transitioning into and out of a role right now, so why don't you tell us a bit about what that role entails?
Okay, well, been in the legacy space for 37 years, so I didn't just fall into this role. We do a lot of reserving for companies, insurance companies, and corporate entities that have these legacy liabilities.
Okay. And Eric?
Yeah. Thanks for having us, Katie. Yeah. I'm really just taking over for Sandy, trying to expand the solutions that we offer in that space to our clients to be beyond the reserving space to also include claim solutions, transferring of liabilities, just risk mitigation solutions across the board.
Yeah, so tell me about that. What sort of solutions are you looking at? What's the expansion look like?
Yeah, so one of the really hot topic items really in the legacy space right now, as I'm sure you're aware, is the inception of these insurance business transfers, which are really a U.S. equivalent to the Part 7 transfers that were really that's been popular in the U.K. for a couple decades now. That's really starting to pick up steam in a few jurisdictions. What that really means is It's sort of a next phase of a loss portfolio transfer, where a loss portfolio transfer is how one entity might be able to get reinsurance protection or an adverse development coverage protection for a block of liabilities. This would actually transfer those liabilities to an assuming entity as if that assuming entity underwrote those policies in the first place. It would remove the collectability risk that's associated with LPTs and or loss portfolio transfers and adverse development covers. So it takes a further step beyond that economic finality to also have legal finality around those exposures and allows companies to redeploy capital that they otherwise would have had to set aside, even if they had that reinsurance protection because of that reinsurance collectability risk. It allows them to redeploy that capital in ways that are more in line with their prospective objectives.
Yeah. And for our listeners who are interested in IBTs, don't forget, we did interview Commissioner Mulready back in season 2. So you can go check out that episode as well. The Commissioner of Oklahoma, who put some IBT legislation in place. So why don't you both tell me what your career paths have looked like? How did you get to this place where you are? Sandy, you said you had 37 years in the business. Why don't you go ahead and start?
Yeah, my first foray into legacy business was when I joined Munich Re and headed up their audits and inspections. And we did a lot of commutation work. We did a lot of legacy deals, you know, between companies just to de-risk and to avoid conflict, you know, avoid fighting over, well, you know, I didn't intend to cover this and things like that, claim issues, underwriting issues. And that led to audits and inspections and a commutation analysis. So I'm an actuary, I'm a casualty actuary. And so I've always had a more financial training towards pricing of the deals and that type of thing and the capital implications. So that kind of led me into joining WTW and continuing that work for clients.
And Eric, how did you get into this space?
Like Sandy, I'm a property and casualty actuary by trade. I started my career working for an insurance carrier, spent about 4 or 5 years there doing corporate support and pricing support. Then I transitioned into the consulting space where I really shifted focus to reserving. And in my role in that sector, I really came across loss portfolio transfers, adverse development covers, really almost by accident, because some of my clients were starting to use that as a way to manage the risk on some of these exposures they wanted to really get off their books and move away from. And seeing how that was being used as a risk management strategy to free up capital to pursue other endeavors was eye-opening to me in the sense of the opportunities that were going to be open in that space in the next 10 or 15 years. I think people tend to think of the that legacy space as asbestos or environmental, and that stuff's eventually going to be run off the books, hopefully. I think it's a lot more dynamic than that, and I could see these types of solutions needing to be discussed and used and pursued for much longer, even after A&E is fully off of everyone's books, because it can also apply to liabilities like workers' compensation liabilities, or if you're in a sector of commercial auto and you want to get out of trucking exposures and you just want to pivot your business in a certain way, there's a lot of things that can be done around the risk mitigation strategy through these LPTs and ADCs. And I thought that was really, really interesting. And I had the opportunity to come work with WTW under the tutelage of Sandy for the last year. So that's what I've been doing, getting up to speed in the industry, learning from someone with 3.5 decades of knowledge and experience.
Talking about legacy, hopefully we will get A&E off the books someday, although I'm not confident that's going to happen. But legacies out there, we're always going to have runoff claims. How do we get more people, be it young professionals or recent transfers to the industry, kind of Eric, like you were kind of talking about, how do we get people into this space?
I think that's a great question. I think it's a question that insurance in general deals with. I think the legacy space with the legacy space subset within insurance probably has an even harder time attracting young talent to get interested in this. It's definitely an uphill battle. There are a lot of intrinsic rewards to a career in the legacy space. I think it's a dynamic space. That's a challenging space. There's a lot of intellectual stimulation and social stimulation that I think is attractive that people may not be aware of. One thing I think, though, that we tend to overlook, especially among the desires of a more younger crowd, is the social element to our work. I think that to the extent that we can connect to the intrinsic motivation of wanting to make a difference on a social level and improve society in some way, I think the more successful we'll be to attracting people into this profession. And there's a lot there in the legacy space that I think foots the bill. We're really, as I alluded to earlier, we're really helping insurance companies redeploy capital in the best manner possible. We're making sure when we're doing these reserve evaluations for these legacy liabilities, we're making sure that people who depend on these claim payments to be made to indemnify them for something that they've suffered through no fault of their own have that money coming through. But we're also in the space trying to make sure that system's not being abused and that there aren't a lot of wasteful expenditures on middlemen. So there's a lot of social elements that come into play that I think we can better connect to. I think another struggle is that people often associate the legacy space with stuff that's happened 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, and it's really not that exciting. There's all this new stuff happening around cyber risk and climate risk and all of that, but they're not so easily bifurcated. It's not dichotomous A or B. Sandy and I were just talking before this. We were talking about the events in Ohio recently with a train derailment and the various health hazard issue that might have. That sort of stuff could take 10, 20 years to play out and for people to see the impact of that. And they're going to need that insurance protection over multiple decades to settle out all of the exposure that's already been incurred there. And that sort of stuff is in the news today. It's not stuff that happened 20, 30, 40 years ago. So I think there's a perspective that we have to fight, which is the legacy space is old, stuffy, it's not dynamic. And we just need to help people realize that there is a lot of dynamism in it. There is a lot of stuff you're reading about in the newspapers today that impact legacy lines.
Sandy, do you have any ideas as to how we could get other professionals, young professionals, or lateral moves into the legacy space?
I think anybody who's interested in finance can find a wealth of positions to develop ways to, financially transfer the risk. There's a variety of mechanisms. And then working on the best capital impact for the company is also, in their area of expertise. So I'd say finance folks can get really front and center to driving how a deal could be structured and offering creativity to how to structure a deal and price a deal. Then the actuaries can follow through with the pricing piece. And, they know what the financial implications are way ahead of time. And that's a more dynamic end, I think, of the transactional part of legacy.
Brokers seem to have
or they tend to have more young professionals coming in than, say, like claims. Anything WTW is doing that you'd like to talk about to bring young folks in?
Well, I would say for claims, there's a lot of data science work and claims modeling that can be implemented in a typical, you know, in a claims department, which traditionally had been more ad hoc because you had very good individual claim experts that would know how a claim would be settled. But when you bring new people into that type of discipline, it takes so many years to get that experience. So to the extent you can use machine learning to help with that and artificial intelligence and things like that, I think that's another area of, you know, it's almost like reimagining a claims area to, you know, stochastically evaluate how you should put your resources to handling claims.
Yeah, we're having ongoing discussions with our clients around what we term the target operating model, which I guess I would summarize as a current state, future state assessment, and really a discussion around how you get from your current state to how do you get to an ideal future state. And I would say, as Sandy mentioned, the claims department is really on the forefront of some of these mm-hmm. technological innovations. There's a lot of opportunity to incorporate machine learning and AI and just more sophisticated modeling procedures to enhance the function of the claims department. And insurance companies tend to be very receptive to that, and they're discussing and implementing some of those initiatives as we speak. So I think over the next 5 or 10 years that you're going to see a lot of disruption in terms of the way things have been done as we move toward a more efficient and effective way of running the claims departments in the future.
Any advice for young professionals out there, or anyone who's looking to get into the legacy space, or just any advice that's been helpful in your careers?
Yes, Sandy, you want to take that one first?
Sure. I think the legacy space offers a lot of variety. You end up understanding more aspects of the business. And by that, I think you do need to talk to claims people. You need to talk to lawyers. And, you know, especially if you're on, let's say, on the finance or actuarial side, you need to talk about the people who understand the coverage issues and the litigation environment. So I think that offers a lot more well-rounded experience for somebody new. And they will certainly learn how to wear more hats than if they're in one particular very small field within a large company or with going down a direction, a path of something very specific that could end up getting, in the long run, maybe a little dull as it compared to moving to, you know, a space where you can wear more hats.
Yeah, I think it definitely is a space for somebody who is curious. There's a lot to be learned, and it's not as simple as just opening up a textbook and finding answers. You really have to develop relationships in the legacy space. It's about networking. It's about putting yourself out there, acknowledging you don't know things, but you're willing to learn from people. And to the extent that you can manage those relationships, I think that's what leads to someone who's able to successfully develop within the legacy space.
I don't think legacy is going anywhere. You know, given my longevity in this space, and you know, I think 37 years ago when I first looked at an old piece of business, I would have never thought I'd be doing that this long, and I could still see a forever future for this type of business. And it's gotten very exciting since the early days, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. With other events on the horizon, PFAS as an example, that could be a huge asbestos-like exposure that takes decades to play out. There are other things, climate risks, beyond the liability aspect of climate risks, beyond just the property aspect of it. That could be another legacy issue that could take decades to play out. There's a lot of stuff that might, as you see A&E maybe become a lesser component of it, they might get replaced with other things that I could easily see being even bigger issues than asbestos was. So as Sandy mentioned, I think it's definitely a growth area, even though people might not immediately think of it as such. So if anyone's interested in the profession, I highly encourage them to really envision, see themselves in this, be open about it, and just be curious.
Well, that's our show. Thank you both so much for joining us today. We appreciate all of your time and your insights. And with that, I will cue the music and close this thing out. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Katie.
Aerox Next Gen is part of Aerox, the only U.S.-based association focusing on the legacy or runoff sector of the insurance and reinsurance industries. Aerox serves the industry by providing education, networking, information, and data. Learn more about what we do at www.aerox.org. That's A-I-R-R-O-C.org. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.